Hi, it's really great to have you with us. I'm Rob Porter. My wife Heather and I have the amazing privilege of being the senior pastors at Kingdom Culture Church in Burpengary, Queensland. We have an incredible preaching team, and I hope that this message will encourage and bless you as you listen.
Such a noisy church. We're so loud. Actually, I'm just going to move this here for 2 seconds. Here's an interesting thing you don't know about me. I'm actually ambidextrous. Yeah, I use both my left and my right hand. But when I'm doing the, I'm majorly left-handed, but I write with my right hand. So I can't do the pulpit over here. So welcome to our last week of Give, Pray, Fast series. It's been amazing, amazing series. Excuse me. Welcome if you're here for the first time. I met Holly earlier. Welcome, Holly, and anyone else who's new. Great to see you. And I thought it was so funny. Pastor Fred shared his catfish story with you last week. And I have a catfish story that I thought, is it right, you know, like ending up the series? But now I'm going to tell you my catfish story. So when I was about 7 or 8, my dad, till the day he died, was an avid fisherman, so always out fishing. And this one Saturday afternoon, I grew up in the 60s, so you were out in the yard all the time. This one Saturday afternoon, my dad calls me in and says, go and have a bath. And I go, but it's only the middle of the afternoon. So in I go, the bath's run, I flick back the plastic shower curtain. Here is a giant as freaking catfish swimming in the bath with its whiskers out, and they have these awful chin whiskers. They're really creepy. It's demonic. They're just really creepy. So, of course, I screamed like a girl, like Pastor Fred did when he fell off the pipe and was hanging on when he slipped on the mildew. That was a really good story. And so I grabbed the handle of the bathroom, and back then there were little, like, metal doorknobs. And so I go to undo it, but my dad's holding it on the other side, laughing, so I can't get out. So I'm screaming and panicking, and he's still laughing. Finally, he opens the door, and he's dressed in a Santa suit, but with this cardboard mask that used to come with the stockings with the lollies in. But they weren't nice. It was the 1960s. So I had 2 holes here for your eyes and a slit here for your tongue. And that's what I opened the door to. So I'm screaming with a catfish and a father, like, but that was the 60s. That's what dads did. There's probably a law against that now. But you're allowed to do that. That's what dads did in the 60s. And you wonder why I am the way I am. So traumatized. So I just thought I'd add my catfish story. So this morning we're going to be talking about... Oh, take my earrings off. Oh, yeah, sorry. I forgot about that. They bang on the mic. So this morning we're finishing our series on Give, Pray, Fast, and we're doing it on fasting. So we're going to be moving fairly quickly today because I've got stuff to teach you, stuff to share. But Pastor Jesse's following it up with me tonight, so it's going to be amazing. But this morning my subtitle is... Is it up? At what cost? At what cost? At what cost? So this, I asked the team if they would sing that song this morning, Lord, Send Revival. And I'll tell you why later, but something happened in the service a couple of weeks ago when God spoke that word to me. But we're going to have a look at fasting first. So this year, our vision focus has been roommakers. Making room for more. And so everything we do and teach, there's so much superimposed over that intent. So today we're just going to specifically focus on fasting, because fasting has an enormous amount to do with roommakers and making room for more. If you want to declutter, if we want to declutter our lives and make room for more, Fasting, I've discovered, and many of you have, is a nuclear weapon. It is nuclear in its power and its authority. And during the week, I just came across this scripture I hadn't read in a really long time. It's not on the screen, but it says, Proverbs 22:19, Solomon speaking, says, "So that your trust will be in the Lord, I teach you today, even you." So the point of that scripture is to say the very essence of teaching is to build trust. This is why we teach the Word of God. This is why there is a teaching gift. This is why we are meant to dig out the Word. And so today, the very essence of what I'm teaching and what we ever teach from here is to build trust and faith and hope in the Word of God and in what He teaches. So up on the screen, just want to have our first point. Biblical fasting is an enormous untapped resource, bringing a power and authority unique to itself. When I was trying to word this, there was no other way for me to put it that fasting has something about it that's unique. You don't get it from any other way, even when you pray and read the Bible. Fasting has a unique power and authority. And it's been widely neglected forever by God's people. And that's for many reasons that we don't have time to look at today. But I'm sure most of you agree, particularly if you've been in the church quite a while, that the Holy Spirit at the moment is breathing all over fasting. All over fasting in local churches and throughout the nations. And that says to me that He is about to pour out a grace to do this, unlike we have ever seen before. Because there's a grace for everything in our Christian walk. We have to understand this. There's a grace for everything. There's a grace, of course, to pray and read the Word and study. But there's a grace to stay married. Honest to goodness, there's a grace to stay married. There's a grace to parent. There's a grace to run a business. There's grace to make finances. There's a grace from God when we are a follower of Jesus for everything that we do. And there's certainly a grace for fasting. And we need to get a hold of that today, because I tell you now, fasting is hard without grace. And there's so many reasons and so many opportunities not to fast. So much about our life is all around food and celebration. And I just want to remind us that the basic scripture that we've been looking at this whole series is Matthew 6. Matthew 6 is amazing. It's a chapter where it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added." And then following that, Jesus starts to talk about giving, praying, fasting. And He says, as we say every week, when you give, when you pray, when you fast. So these things are not optional things, and we've covered this. These are not optional extras. These are when we do these things. They are the lifeblood of a disciple of Jesus. They are the lifeblood. When we're teaching Grow Track, we're very, very thorough about people understanding the difference between becoming a convert and becoming a disciple. Vastly different. Vastly different. And this is what the Bible clearly says in Matthew 6. So it's good for us to remember this also, for those of you that aren't familiar maybe with fasting or have avoided it, is fasting for the Christian in the Word of God is as normal as praying, gathering in the house of God, gathering in homes. It's as normal as praying for the sick. It's as normal as moving in the prophetic. It's as normal as surrendering our lives to Jesus. It's as normal as sharing the gospel and getting saved. It's as normal as outreaching and giving and sharing and all those things we do. It's in amongst all that. It's not elite. It's not apart and above all those things. And it's shocking, actually, when you see that we've made it over the decades something that's that little bit out of reach, and we kind of, it's like the elephant in the room we don't talk about. It's that thing we don't touch. And because we don't bring it into the light, generations of people will miss out on the beauty and the authority of this fasting. See, fasting is in fact a fundamental doctrine of Christianity. It's foundational. It's not for the elite. It's not for the people who hear the voice of God audibly, or for those who see angels and have all these big experiences and go to heaven, which is amazing. I mean, but it's not this weird thing. It's foundational. It's fundamental. And because of this, I want to take today all the mystery and all the mysticism out of it. I think it's time that we do that with a lot of the Word of God. So fasting from the very beginning of the Word of God was a way of life for His people. From the very beginning of the written Word, from the beginning of time. So these people fasted in the Bible. Moses, Nehemiah, Esther, Hannah, Ezra, David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Peter, Paul, the apostles in the book of Acts, the whole nation of Israel, and the whole nation of Nineveh fasted. And that's a funny one, because their children and their animals fasted. When Nineveh fasted, they put their animals on a fast. My cats would shred the house. Like, honest to goodness, they were already up on the bed in your face in the morning if you haven't fed them yet. Like, so this, and Jesus, of course, Jesus fasted. So we see all through the Word of God, people and nations who fasted. Ben, I'm very big on what is the effect? What's the fruit? Why do we teach certain things? Is this something that God does breathe on? Because I guess I'm free to say now, after being in church a long time, not everything some people do in the church is God-breathed. It's just not. It's just not Spirit of God-led. It's just not God-breathed. And just because people say the Lord said, it doesn't necessarily mean the Lord said. But this has effects. So listen to the effects and the evidence of their fasting. What is the evidence? That'll come up on the screen. Clear direction was heard from God. So who here today needs clear direction? Every one of us today or soon will need clear direction from God. There were undeniable miracles. Whole people groups were rescued, and specifically the Jews. Whole people groups were rescued. Ungodly kings turned their hearts to God. So we can believe in our nation alone for God to move and breathe on our politicians and our leaders in every sector of society. We can believe for that with our fasting added to everything else. Now, this one, I'll just say it and I'll leave it out there. Governmental decrees were overturned. Governmental decrees were overturned at the 12th hour. 12th hour. 12th hour. Things were overturned. Do we have a voice? Yes. Do we have certain things we can stand with conviction? Yes. But how was it solved in the Word of God? Fasting and prayer. Governmental decrees were overturned. Overturned. In a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. Natural disasters were ended. People turned to God in repentance. There were supernatural occurrences, like Daniel in the lion's den, just for one. There were angelic visitations, spiritual warfare in the heavens. That was also Daniel. Daniel had so much stuff happen when he fasted. There were unprecedented salvations, and that was in the book of Acts. And God answered prayer. Not to mention the tens and tens of thousands of personal testimonies there would have been in 1, 2, 3 lives, families, communities. So fasting is amazing and effective. Fasting is one of the major pillars upon which legacy is built and expanded. We're going to touch on that in a second. So it's one of the major pillars upon which legacy is built and expanded. Almost every week of this series, we've heard the words, what we do matters. What we do matters. It matters not only to us, it matters to others, near and far, every breath of our life. Pastor Rob said this the first week he was teaching on fasting, because we've gone, give, pray, fast, give, pray, fast. So way back in the beginning when he was doing fasting, he said this amazing statement. He goes, fasting helps create a greater future for freedom, for maturity, for power and authority. That was just when he said that, and then we listened to the podcast, I thought, oh, I would take a bullet for that. That is amazing. Creates a greater future for freedom, maturity, power and authority. Fasting does. We're going to open up a few more gems, but I just want to speak now again about legacy. So just concerning legacy, and by the way, that's a mountain we choose to die on here in this church. You know, we don't, maybe all of us die on every mountain, but legacy is a mountain we die on here. That's who we are here at KCC. That's what we breathe for. So this is a mountain we've chosen to die on. So we must understand how fasting has such an enormous, enormous impact upon us building and establishing that legacy. So someone paid a price for us to be a Christian. This is what legacy is about. Someone paid a price for us to become a Christian. Someone paid a price for us to hear the gospel. Someone paid a price for us to be able to respond to the gospel. And that price started with Jesus, and it continues with his church. That's my point. He began it. He continues it through his body on the earth, through his church. We build and establish the legacy that Jesus died for. And I was driving along yesterday afternoon. I actually went down the beach, have some time with God with this. And I was driving home and I felt him remind me of something I say to myself quite often. And it's like, why are you doing this? Like, why? It's not like a, why am I doing this? It's good to be woken up and shaken sometimes and sharpened. And sometimes it's like, so why am I doing this? Why do I want to pour my life into growth track? Why do I come to this church? Why do we give our money? Why? Sometimes we just get up in the morning and la-la along and we have no why. We have no purpose. You know, so why we do this for the legacy that's going to be left as the result of our lives, but I can't pull this off. You can't pull this off. We can't pull this off. 140,000 without the grace of God will never pull this off. You know, we cannot pull off this legacy unless we build it on the cross of Jesus and what he did. That's why we're in this building. Everything we do, fasting, praying, giving, serving, raising our children, saving our money, whatever we're doing, choosing their schools, all comes back to Jesus. All comes back to the gospel. And if it doesn't, we are just plodding along like the rest of the world. But we are not purposeless here. We are not purposeless. In 1979, we walked into Christian Outreach Centre at Redcliffe. I actually went the week before Steve. And it was in this old, old, broken down cinema with the old pop-up seats that kind of, and they had the springs in them. And I had been saved as a little girl, but we just gave our lives completely and totally to God and the church. We just lived and breathed God and church, God and church, just lived and breathed it. And what we found was that happened because of legacy that was built before us. So we came into a church that used to have early morning prayer meetings every morning, because this was the late 70s. So people were a bit tough back then. So they'd meet at 5 and they would pray, like, you know, winter and summer, they would pray. In every prayer meeting, this is what we did. We would face the north, south, east and west. And they taught, I know, do you remember, like, people in my generation remember, and they would call people in from the north, from the south, from the east and the west. Call them in, call in the broken, call in the lost, just call in, call in. And we walk in the door because somebody called us in. Somebody called us in. Then somebody called us in. We have children, and now we have grandchildren that are being raised in the house of God. And generations before us who sit here now in our air-conditioned buildings, we had nothing but overhead projectors and boiling hot buildings in primary schools where you moved all the chairs backwards and forwards every week. And these people are responsible for us sitting here today. And they're praying. What's it good to do? Prayer and fasting. Because they prayed, they fasted, they gived, they lived their life as a legacy. And fasting was a significant part of that. Significant part of that. And they knew what it was to live. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. They knew generations before us. And they went on long fasts. If there was an evangelist coming into the Redcliffe area, our church would pray for weeks, weeks and weeks before that people would be saved. And they knew too that thy kingdom come, thy will be done wasn't just a cliche saying. They gave their life to it. It wasn't a catchphrase. It wasn't on a t-shirt. It wasn't something just plucked out of the air. People prayed, fasted, gave so that we can be here today in this area and in this nation. And what awoke me up to the fact, especially again coming into this series, is that all of this requires a price. And one of the prices is fasting. It's a wonderful price. It's a wonderful price though. So what is biblical fasting? Most of you would know this, but a lot of you don't. Maybe a lot of you are new to this. So biblical fasting is biblical fasting, okay? Biblical fasting is refraining from food and in some cases also water for a specific purpose and time. So we're going to filter everything through the Word of God. And we're going to, I'll come back to that in a minute. Fasting positions us also. I'll come back to about what is biblical fasting in a second, but I wanted to tell you this first. Fasting is a positioning of ourselves. Fasting positions us to draw nearer to God. It positions us for a deeper and more intimate relationship with God. Fasting does that. Fasting positions us to hear God's voice more clearly. Can't hear God's voice? Maybe fast. It's good. It is. It's good. It's powerful. Fasting positions us to move in greater authority in prayer. Fasting positions us to put our flesh down. It helps to break its dominance. The flesh is dominant. The flesh demands to be our master. It just does. And it's a very hard taskmaster. The flesh is very hard. And there'd be people in this room, and if you were to put your hand up, we'd get so surprised. How many of you have known the consequences of letting the flesh dominate? And the serious consequences that has had in your life that maybe now you are still trying to clean up because the flesh dominated. But fasting dominates over the flesh. It puts it in its place. It acts, you know, the flesh is awful. The flesh acts like our best friend, but it's it betrays us every time. I know Pastor Jesse's going to be talking about this tonight. Acts like a best friend, but leads us into all kinds of trouble. Yeah. All kinds of trouble, small and great. It positions us to stand against the powers of darkness spoken of in God's word in Ephesians 6. So fasting positions us to stand against those powers of darkness. You feel you have powers of darkness operating over your life and your family? Fast. Fast and break it. Fast and break its power. And it positions us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness so that everything Jesus paid for at the cross would be added to us. Fasting loves partnership. This is one of my favorite parts. Biblical fasting is done with faith. In fact, without faith, fasting lacks hope and direction and life. So without faith, biblical fasting has virtually no power. And in my experience, that faith and hope, that's what becomes the oxygen of our life and our fasting. Secondly, fasting wields enormous power when married to God's word.
Yes.
So it loves faith and it loves being married to God's word. It just loves partnership. And thirdly, biblical fasting is always mixed with prayer. Biblical fasting is always mixed with prayer. Always. So fasting, prayer, and the word are together this unstoppable force. And a supernatural kingdom principle here happens and it creates a synergy. I love that word. I remember learning about this probably 20 years ago and writing it in the front of my Bible when I heard this illustration, but it wasn't in connection to fasting. But so when we add our faith and our prayer and the word and our giving and all these things, a synergy begins to happen because fasting needs to be added to something. And this is an example of synergy. If you can pop those photos up, thanks, Trish, on the screen. One single draft horse can pull approximately 3,700 kilos. That's a lot of weight. Two draft horses yoked together pull approximately 11,000 kilos. That's not double, that's over triple. That's more than triple. And this is what the Word of God shows us concerning fasting, is that it must be added to those other things, and those other things must have fasting added to them to really have the greatest synergy in impact. And what we're experiencing and what we're crying out for often is just the need for fasting to be added to what we believe in God for. Yeah. To what we believe in God for. Yeah. Biblical fasting is only about food and water. Yep. Okay, we're just going to clear that one up. Biblical fasting is only about food and water. So we don't actually fast social media. We don't actually fast gaming or shopping or Netflix or all of those things that people often speak about. But having said that, that's a magnificent sacrifice to give before God. We don't take anything away from that. If that is something you are doing to get closer to God, that is awesome. But it's not technically fasting. And we need to know how to get our Bibles right. I'll give you a couple of examples of this. Like, because what happens if we don't get doctrine right? We're just going to willy-nilly taking the teaching that gets handed down from generation to generation and church and denomination to us. So here's a couple of examples. I was talking to Trish about this recently. Who's ever heard about St. Peter being at the gates of heaven when you die and he's got his book? Total load of rubbish. It's just a total load of rubbish. We've just been given this thing. total load of rubbish. Yes, there are pearly gates. In fact, Revelation says there were 12 gates, three on each side of the city, each one of them one pearl. So it's one pearl. But there's no St. Peter. Bible says to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. So we go straight into the presence of our Saviour and before the, you know, before God. So I'm just saying we need to understand these things. Another one, we haven't been taught, but we hear this. I used to work in the funeral industry, so I used to just, crush my heart when I heard this. And people say when a loved one dies, particularly a child, I know that's sensitive, but particularly a child, that God needed another angel. No, he didn't. God doesn't take our loved ones because he needs another angel. But these are things we pass down. This is not doctrine. And my point is we need to get our doctrine of praying, fasting, giving really tight. Really tight for it to be effective. Really tight. So that, because some of you will go, I don't want to fast food and water, but I'll fast social media. No, you're sacrificing social media, but you're not technically fasting. But we've got, every one of us will encourage each other all along the way, but you'll still wonder why there isn't breakthrough that you've wanted, because you're not technically fasting. So if we get it right, get behind each other, add our synergy to each other, we'll be able to do that. All right. We don't actually just do fasting. We are Christians in love with Jesus and the kingdom who fast. So we've got to change our terminology. So we don't just do giving. We are lovers of God. We are followers and disciples of Jesus who love to pray. We don't do giving. We are lovers of Jesus who love to give. So we've got to get our wording right and our, what's the word people use now? Narrative. Our narrative right. We've got to go, I am a lover of Jesus. I want to follow the word of God. I want power and authority. Therefore, I will become a faster. I will be one who fasts. And on that note, fasting is never, never, never about our worth. It's always about our authority. You will never be more loved by God if you fast. You will never be more important. You will never, ever be more lofty. You will never, ever have a reason to be prideful, because this is just our identity. It is not about our worth. It's about our authority and power. And if anything creeps in, we need to put that down with our flesh. Let's just, as we're finishing, talk about legacy one more time. In the book of Ezra, a fast is proclaimed. Ezra was leading this huge contingent of God's people back to Jerusalem after they had been in captivity for 70 years. It was a monumental task. So he had thousands and thousands and thousands of people, men and women and children, all needing protection and health on their way back to Jerusalem. The journey was 2,700 kilometres. That's a long way for men, women, children, animals, pulling all their food and their stock, and probably many, many elderly people because they were there 70 years. It's the equivalent, I Googled it, it's the equivalent of walking straight to Darwin or straight to Fiji. It's the distance of walking. It's so, so long. This is what Ezra said in Ezra 8, 21 and 23. Then I proclaimed a fast at the river of Ahava that we might humble ourselves before God to seek from him the right way for us and for our little ones. That whole fast was declared to hear the voice of God and on behalf of the little ones. So fasting is very much a fact of legacy. It is about us being able to lead ourselves and our next generation well. And if this is something you desire personally or in ministry or in your workplace, we need to add fasting to this. And next year, particularly when we are called, Pastor Rob's calling us and Pastor Heather and our exec to a fast, we'll have more and more teaching how to do this very, very well. I want you just to stand now. Just as God just starts to move on you. Alex Mott said something really good last week when he was preaching on prayer. He goes, we are laying down little steps that will sustain a great revival. I love that. And recently on a Sunday night, the team was singing the song, Lord, Send Revival. That's why I asked if they could do it today. And I was standing over there and I felt God say to me, Kimmy, at what cost? For decades, people have called out for this revival and people before you, for this great revival to come into our community, into our nation, into our nations. But at what cost? At what cost? And you know what? I became so riveted in the fact that this is going to come at a cost of our prayer and our fasting and our giving. We cannot leave fasting out of the equation for this. We really, seriously cannot leave fasting out. And I realized at the beginning of this year, probably a good 9 months ago now, that there were so many things I was still believing God for in my life, in my family, for my future. And I realized that these were all things I was doing well. I was praying. I was reading my word. I was believing. I was decreeing. I was prophesying it. But I needed to get serious about fasting. I needed to make it a lifestyle in order that something would shift. And I had to say a very, very, very big yes to this is going to consume me. This is not something I'm going to do once. This is something, if I want to see the things I'm believing for come to pass, I must add fasting into the mix. Because if being added in, I tell you now, our families will be changed. Our futures will be changed. Our government will be changed. There will be salvations. There will be healings. There will be the miracles we're believing for. There will be the breakthrough in finances. Why? Because we added fasting to our praying and decreeing and our giving. So this morning, I just want to say to you, is I believe there's an opportunity here this morning. The word really for me this morning is, at what cost is it going to, at what cost your family? At what cost you being able to keep your job? At what cost you being able to raise your children in the house of God? At what cost real, real, real salvations in our house? Real salvations, people who've never been saved. The real lost, at what cost? At what cost that financial breakthrough? At what cost? We have to get a hold of our big yes. So this morning we're going to realize, and I want you to put faith towards it. Fasting works. Fasting works. Fasting is effective. Fasting works. It just works. So this morning we're going to have two altar calls this morning. And we're going to have an altar call for each and every one of you who've said this morning, I didn't actually know that. I hadn't actually thought about that. I had actually pushed that down a bit and was hoping that next year I'll just, you know, get better at it. But this morning is the day of decision. And we need our big, big yes in so many things, in so many things.
Thanks so much for taking the time to listen to today's message. Our hope is that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If not, we'd like to invite you to begin your journey with him today. When we read scripture, we see that sin separates us from God, but that our relationship with God is restored by salvation through Jesus Christ. This happens because God gave Jesus his Son to die in our place, to deal with the sin problem, and he rose again so that we can have eternal life with him. If we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, we can know salvation today. If you're ready to do that and turn from a life of sin, then pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. If you've prayed this prayer for the first time today, we would love to know and reach out to you and support you. So please contact us at hello@kingdomculturechurch.com.au.